Radio.com presents stories of mystery and intrigue, espionage and suspense. Hear tales of ticking time bombs, mysterious crime scenes, and cloak and dagger action. This is Relic Radio Thrillers. This week on Relic Radio Thrillers, we'll hear from Columbia Workshop, CBS series that aired from 1936 to 1943, then returned again for another season, 1946 to 1947. Our story this week is Log of the R-77. This one aired May 11th, 1941.
The Columbia Workshop presents the second of 26 by Corwin. Log of the R-77.
It is silent. The air is impossible. I don't know how long I'll be able to write. This is a whim. Who'll read my log? When the ocean dries, perhaps. 1,000,000,000 years. The steel rot sooner than that. Does airtight paper crumble? I'll write as long as I'm able. It happened about 50 hours ago. It was foggy. Ship cut through the mist dead ahead. She was after us. We didn't hear or see until she was 500 yards away. Dived immediately.
All hands down the hatch. Down the diving alarm. Aye, aye, sir. Down the collision alarm.
Collision alarm, sir.
Take her down to 100 feet.
100 feet, sir. Passing 30 feet now, sir. Conning tower has secured, sir.
Very well.
40 feet, sir. 50 feet, sir. Close the vents.
All vents closed, sir.
Very well. 60 feet, sir. 70 feet, sir. 80 feet, sir. Leveling off at 100 feet, sir.
Very well.
There we go.
That was close.
Heavy forward, Captain. 10 degrees down by the bow. 125 feet, sir.
Blow bow buoyancy.
Blowing bow buoyancy, sir. Fifteen degrees down by the bow, sir. 175 feet. Going down fast, sir. 190 feet.
Low main ballast.
Blowing main ballast, sir. So 225 feet, sir. Sinking rapidly. Feet, sir. 350 feet, sir. 400 feet, sir. Bottom at 425 feet, sir.
Deck all compartments for damage.
Deck all compartments for damage.
Forward torpedo room. Forward torpedo room. No answer from forward torpedo room, sir. Very well, check through. Forward battery room.
Forward battery room, aye, aye.
Do you report any damage?
No damage, sir. Everything OK.
Forward battery room reports no damage, sir. Everything okay?
Very well.
Engine room.
Engine room, aye, aye.
Are you taking in any water?
No water, sir. Everything okay.
Engine room reports everything okay, sir.
Very well.
After battery room.
After battery room, aye, aye.
Do you report any damage?
No damage, sir. Everything okay.
After battery room reports no damage, sir.
Very well.
After torpedo room. After torpedo room. No answer from after torpedo room, sir.
Very well. Check the conning tower.
Checking the conning tower, sir. Conning tower. Conning tower. No answer tower, sir.
Have all hands report to the control room.
Aye, aye, sir.
The men gathered quickly. They came in with terrible faces of anxiety without a word. When they'd all crowded in and stood silently, the captain addressed them.
Men, I had hoped this would never happen, but it has. The forward and after torpedo rooms are flooded. There is no life in the conning tower. We have no means of escape.
God in heaven.
That is the situation.
You mean there's not a ghost of a chance, Captain? Not a sliver of a chance?
I'm afraid not, Grogan.
No chance of using the lungs, maybe?
There is no way of escape.
Then it's curtains.
Yeah, curtains.
Men, I have often wondered what I would do in this eventuality.
I too.
I am doing now what I thought I would do.
What's that?
Well, first of all, you know that we have about 60 hours. Help me carry there, he's sick.
I'm sorry, couldn't help myself.
That's all right, McCary.
I feel kind of woozy myself.
Don't feel ashamed of that, any of you. You have a right to be sick. But then I have one suggestion I'd like to make. You may either accept or reject it as you wish. Take it or not, according to how you feel.
What is it, sir?
Now, you needn't act on this idea merely because I'm captain. Tell me if you think I'm foolish, and that will be all right.
Well, what's your idea, sir?
To entertain each other in the time that is left.
Entertain each other?
Yes. When you were kids, did you ever go to a party at which everybody had to do some act or sing or in some way entertain the others?
Oh, yes, sure.
Well, that's what I propose we do now. It may sound foolish, but it'll help to pass the time. It will help to keep our minds off ourselves.
Can we?
I don't know. Maybe it won't work. Maybe it will. I think it's worth a try. We don't have to do it right now.
I'm for it.
Me too.
I would like to think that none of us is scared or sick to his guts. But that would be silly. I would like to think that none of you feels the cold sweat I feel right now. But you do. I think we ought to try to forget it as best we can, and that's why I'm proposing this little game.
Sounds sensible to me.
First, not all of us agreed. McCary went off in the corner and lay down in the deck and cried to himself. Grogan kept punching the steel door to the battery room until his knuckles bled. But he said nothing. Nobody tried to stop him. Captain just stood where he was. Then eventually the men decided they would take up the captain's idea. They grouped themselves around on the deck and the captain sat in the middle.
Very well, let's begin clockwise. Abrams, you're nearest and first.
Who, me? Well, see, what am I supposed to do?
Anything you like. Sing, tell a story, recite something. Even a dirty yarn will be gratefully received if it makes any of us laugh.
Well, I wish I wasn't first, that's all.
You want to be second?
Yeah.
We'll be first.
I will, sir.
All right, McCary.
I'd like to sing a little song that I learned when I was a kid. I think it was about the first song that I ever learned.
Shoot.
Go ahead, Mr.
Off in the stilly night, ere slumber's chain has bound me, fond memory brings the light of other days around me. The smiles, the tears, the boyhood years, the words of love and...
All right, McGarry. Take your time.
When I remember all the friends so linked together, I've seen around me fall like leaves in wintry weather. I feel like one who treads alone some banquet hall deserted.
Thank you, McCarry.
Nice call.
How about you, Matusiewicz?
Well, I'll play something on my concertina if you don't mind.
All right.
Recite a poem.
You? You have a poem to recite?
Yeah. It was midnight on the ocean. Not a streetcar was in sight. The sun was shining brightly, for it had rained all that night. It was a summer's day in winter. The rain was snowing fast. As a barefoot girl with shoes on
stood sitting in the grass.
In the grass.
I know that.
Was evening, and the rising sun was setting in the west, and all the fish... I guess this ain't going over so well, maybe.
It's all right. I'm sorry to interrupt, man. William Saunders, start air purification.
Air purification, aye, aye.
How many cans of CO2 shall I open, sir?
How many have you?
10 altogether.
Open 2. Spread it over the bunks in the forward battery room.
Aye, aye, sir.
All right, now it's... your turn, Lieutenant.
How about something from the Bible, sir?
Very good.
Job, chapter 3. Let the day perish wherein I was born, and the night in which it was said there is a man-child conceived. Let that day be darkness. Let not God regard it from above. Let darkness and the shadow of death stain it. Let a cloud dwell upon it. Let the blackness of the day terrify it. As for that night, let it not be joined unto the days of the year. Let it not come into the number of the months. Let that night be solitary. Let no joyful voice come therein. Let them curse it that curse the day who are ready to raise up their morning. Let the stars of that twilight thereof be dark. Let it look for light, but have none. Neither let it see the dawning of the day, because it shut up the doors of my mother's womb, nor hit the sorrow for my knife.
Stop that, Grogan!
No, Barton, go right on, Grogan.
Why is light given to a man whom God hath hedged in? The thing which I greatly feared is come upon me, and that which I was afraid of is come unto me. I was not in safety, neither had I rest, neither was I quiet, yet trouble came.
Herzog, what about you?
I don't guess I know how to do anything.
Now, come on, sure you do.
Well,
how about your whistling, Hertz? You can imitate birds.
No, I'll tell you what. I got a couple of stories maybe you ain't heard.
Yes, go ahead, let's have them.
Well, this fella takes his girl out for the evening, see? And first he takes her to dinner. Have you heard this one? Well, he takes her to dinner in a fancy place, see? 75 cents for a half a grapefruit, that kind of place, you know.
He wasn't no sailor.
It costs him as much as a couple of suits of clothes, but he don't mind, because he spends all his time looking at it. So when they're through dinner, he says to her, "Well, honey, would you like to go see a picture tonight?" So she says, "Sure." So he takes her to one of them high-class reserved seat joints, and they sit in the orchestra. It's a terrible picture. A real stinkeroo.
I saw that picture.
Yeah. But he don't mind. He holds her hands all the time. He ain't thinking of the picture anyway.
Actually not. But I can guess.
Well, after the show, he takes her to a nightclub and they have a few drinks. Very expensive, you see, with a cover charge and everything. They dance a while. And then he says, "Honey," he says, "are you tired? You want to go home?" So she says,
very funny.
Yeah, wait a minute, I got it.
Well,
I forgot what she says. Now, wait a minute. Now, let me think.
Give him a chance.
I could have swore I knew the punch. It has to do with her going to work in the morning. I remember that.
Do you remember any other stories?
No, I'll get this one. You just give me a little time. I had it on the tip of my tongue.
All right, supposing we come back to you.
Yeah, I'll get it. Don't worry.
What about you, Gordon?
I have to offer only two lines of verse, Captain.
That's all right.
My favorite lines in all Shakespeare, sir.
What are they?
Night candles are burnt out, and jocund day stands tiptoe on the misty mountaintop.
Very beautiful they are, too. What's that from, Barton?
Romeo and Juliet, sir.
Why don't you finish the speech?
Huh? What do you mean?
It's Romeo's speech, isn't it? There's another line.
I just don't happen to remember it. What is it?
I must be gone and live, or stay and die.
Do you remember any more verses, Barton?
Yes, I do, sir. I'm very much afraid the boys here won't be much entertained by them.
What about it, men?
Sure, go ahead.
No, I suggest you come back to me on the second round, sir.
All right. Johnson, you're next.
Well, does card tricks count as entertainment?
Not yours. If they're good ones.
Okay. Well, now, I'm going to show you the best card trick you ever saw. Let me clean away a little space.
All right. Okay.
Now, Captain, you got to assist me. You shuffle these cards.
All right.
Now, mix them good.
How's that?
Okay. That's enough. Now, Williams, you cut them.
There you are.
Okay. Now, does anybody want to see that these are in no special order? You can look if you want.
All right.
Now, I'm not even going to touch them. Bart, suppose you cut the deck and lay both piles down on the table.
Okay, done.
All right. Now cut them again. That's three piles. Now, make another pile. Wait a minute. Give me a chance, will you? Now, take two cards from the top of this one and put them on that pile.
Like this?
Yeah, that's it. Now, one from here on there.
What is this?
Kidding. I ain't kidding. This trick ain't never failed. All right, Bart, now, let me see. Take one from here and put it there.
Yeah?
And now, one from there and put it here.
Okay?
Wait a minute, will you? Now, you will pick up from the top of the four piles the following cards. A six, a ten, a jack, and an ace.
There's a four.
Hey, that's funny.
A seven.
A seven.
A two.
A two. Wow.
And a queen.
Oh, I don't know how that happened. You must have did it. Oh, you didn't take it off the right card.
This went on for another half hour before it was my turn. I'd made up my mind to recite a filthy ballad because I thought it would amuse them. I started, but after I got about six stanzas on, I suddenly grew conscious that my listeners were actually, literally dying men. Their faces seemed unreal, ghosts already risen from the not yet dead. Only a fragment of my mind kept to the ballad and its nasty verses. The rest seemed slowly to recoil, and I felt numb and limp, and suddenly it was dark, and I could hardly hear the voices of the men.
Wait a minute. What's the matter, William? What's the trouble?
Look, he's pale as a ghost.
He's fainting. Get him some water.
Slap his face. Yes, give him a hand. He's going to keel over.
When I awoke, there was a throbbing and humming in my head. I must have struck my head against the bulkhead when I fell over because there was a cut over my left temple and very sore, too. I looked around at the men. The air was foul and heavy, but not as bad as now. Joe, how long have we been down? Joe? Bono? Grogan? Everybody! God help me. It was then that I knew I was the only man alive. I got up and stumbled over to the oxygen. I found to my great surprise that one tank hadn't been used. I opened it and I felt better. I don't know how long I lay knocked out. I could figure hours, but not days. I looked at the men. Some seemed just to have fallen asleep in natural positions. The captain was lying face down on the book, which I didn't try to lift him up from. Herzog was face up and smiling slightly as though he had just remembered the ending to his joke. Grogan was in a puddle of his own blood. I didn't know what to do. Only the words of silence. I went over to where Matusevich was lying and took the concertina away from him. His hand held it for a moment and seemed unwilling to give it up. I pulled it away. I tried to play it. I didn't know how. I tired of this, and I thought of the deck of cards Johnson had. I looked for them. I had to turn Johnson over to get them because they were in a back pocket. And I sat down and played solitaire under a dimming light. Red 10, black 8, queen of spades, two of clubs, black 9 and red 10, black 4, black 3, red 7 and black 8. I was tired of this too. Freezing, shivering cold, so I put my pea coat on, but still it was cold. I found a letter from my wife in the pocket of my coat and read it six times. It was a letter she wrote me from the country. Maybe that's why I started to write. Maybe it felt as though I were answering. At any rate, I found myself writing in the pages of the diary I would never fill. I'd have stopped from time to time to blow on my hands. Also, if this appears uneven, it's because I'm hearing things. Yes, I am hearing things. I'm hearing voices, noises. My mind must be going.
Dear Jim, I am writing you from the country where I'm staying for the holiday with Susan and Fred. I hope you will be back in time for the week.
Thank you. more noises, the better. The noises are better than the silence. I cannot write them anymore.
Dear Jim, I am writing from the holiday where Susan. I hope you will be back from the sea all right. Bobby had a sore throat last week, but his cold is nearly over. Cold is nearly over. Cold is nearly over. Cold is nearly over.
Like one who treads alone some banquet hall deserted, whose lights are fled, whose garden's dead, and all but he departed.
Stay and die. Stay and die.
The air is poison. Feels heavy like a foul, wet smoke. I opened the side arm locker.
Dear Jim. Dear Jim. Dear Jim.
I took apart a revolver. Just have something to do. Then I put it together again. It takes a rational mind to do that. I'm not all gone yet. I shall put it to a use. It is very cold.
Listening to Log of the R-77, the second of 26 by Corwin, presented each Sunday at this time by the Columbia Workshop. Credits, sound, Ray Kramer, assisted by George Lehman and Walter McDonough. Cast, House Jameson, Paul Stewart, Everett Sloan, John Gibson, Peter Donald, Louis Van Ruten, Frank Lovejoy, Martin Wolfson, Burl Ives, Norman Ober, Edward Juris, and Lucille Meredith. Constantina, Boris Matusevich. Engineer, Paul Whitlick. Script and production, Norman Corwin. The author is indebted to Chief Torpedoman Albert Fisher and Commander William O. Regan of the United States Navy for technical counsel in the preparation of this program. Next week, the Columbia Workshop will present the third of 26 by Corwin, the premier performance of a section of The People Yes, a new American opera by Earl Robinson and Norman Corwin, suggested by Carl Sandburg's volume of that name. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.
That's our thriller for this week. Hope you enjoyed it. You can find more from Columbia Workshop, Relic Radio thrillers, and everything else Relic Radio at the website, relicradio.com. Our Shoutcast stream is there, and our donate button if you'd like to help support this and all of the Relic Radio shows. It's how we make this all happen every week. My thanks, as always, to those who have helped out. Thanks for joining me today. I'll be back next Friday with a story from Suspense. And this weekend, we'll hear from Beyond Midnight and Inner Sanctum on the horror and strange tales. All that can be found at relicradio.com. And I'll be back next week with another episode of Relic Radio Thrillers.